Hard to get bigger than this one today, episode number 404 with Jack Campbell. The boys are on a roll right now, and this conversation with Jack is no different. Man, this was a treat. You love Jack Campbell already. You're going to love him even more. So much so, you're going to end up voting for him for governor of the state of Iowa someday. I'm not joking. Plus all of the football stuff. What a treat this podcast was. Let's have a day. Let's go. Now, as hyped as I got you in that introduction, you're going to have to listen to me for one quick minute here. Unbelievable that we made it 400 episodes without this happening. Long story short, we hit the record button. It glitched, ended up not recording. Gary, the intern, this is why we hired him for stuff like this, came through in the clutch and saved all but 1 minute of this podcast. So you miss out on 1 minute of us basically asking Jack a question. Because of that, the first 3 minutes are going to sound like you're trapped in a dungeon and being held captive. Okay, so you're going to have to just imagine that Jack Campbell hit you on a route out in the flat, and you are somewhere inside your brain rattling around, and that's the echo that you're hearing. After 3 minutes, you're going to flip over to the real audio, and the rest of the thing is peachy. Shout out to Gary for saving most of this podcast. We start the conversation right off with GOAT Wallace. Jack, his position coach was obviously Coach Seth Wallace. You guys know our love for Coach Seth Wallace, so much so that we put him on a t-shirt. So we start hot by asking him about their relationship and how early on in his career, it was Coach who helped him start to see what his potential could be as he became an Iowa Hawkeye for the next 4 years. So please enjoy this conversation with Jack, and thanks for listening as always.
Pause right there. Did you know that Ike called your whole career when you were in high school?
I know he would always hype me up.
Dude, you were 16 years old. You were a sophomore in high school, and Ike was like, I promise you, this kid is going to be the best linebacker at Iowa. He's like, he's going to be.
He said that.
He's like, this kid is an absolute thoroughbred. So shout out to your boy Ike. He called what you were about to do.
For sure. So major shout out to Ike, but I'll get back into the wall. So, like, coming from Cedar Falls, like, I came from a school, like, we played, like, in the highest class of football. So, like, I knew, like, I played some pretty good kids. But, like, coming to Iowa, like, you just don't know. Like, there's kids from all over the nation. And, like, for me, when I stepped foot on campus, like, I knew, I felt like if I wanted to be in, like, as good as I could get and, like, reach all these goals, like, that I'd have to do things differently. And Coach Wallace was kind of the guy that kind of paved the way with in that respect. I'll always remember, so you guys remember when we do like walkthroughs in camp? So this would have been 2019. It was like a nighttime walkthrough. We didn't have pads on. And this tight end, he inserted like into like the B gap. And like, it's like a walkthrough. So like, I'm kind of walking up and like, just going to fit it up. But like, I didn't fit inside of him. And like, I didn't hit him hard enough. And Wallace like stopped the drill, and he just started laying into me about like not doing like the little things right, like not fitting inside, like not using my hands. Like I just got dominated, like you suck, like the whole nine yards. Like obviously use different words. So then I'm like, ah, shit, like I just want to get this walkthrough done. So we go, I shower quick, I head up to the meal, like I'm trying to eat as fast as I can and go home, like back to the hotel, get on the
you
bus.
Were trying to get out of there before you
got there. It was a terrible day. Like I'm a freshman, like
yeah, I didn't know you just walked into the complex, right?
Yeah. And so then I'm eating dinner, and then he comes up, and then I'm in front of all my teammates, and he like starts yelling like in front of the whole cafeteria about me messing up this play. So like I feel like dog water. Like I just feel like I'm like the like I literally feel like I'll never make it. Like so that was like kind of like our first like encounter.
That sounds like a Josie story.
Like truly. So then I go back to the hotel, and then kind of the rest was history. For him, I feel like he like tests you your first year,
and so you know where he gets that from. That's a Phil Parker thing to do.
Yeah,
Phil Parker, your freshman year, will find a very tiny flaw and call you out on it, and he just wants to see how you respond. So that's something I guarantee you, Seth picked up.
So like, once I got past that first year, like he was super good to me. Like he always had like an open door policy. Like if I ever need anything, like go in and talk to him. But like he was like super hard on me that first year, and I feel like that kind of laid my foundation and realizing like what it's going to take to play in the Big Ten at the highest level. But as I kind of transitioned to my next 3 years, like each year I feel like I gained more respect from him. Like he's like, for me, like I told him, like we had like one-on-one meetings at the end of each season, and I'm just like just continue to stay on top of me, and like we knew like if we stayed the course, like I could ultimately get to where all my dreams were like leading up to. But like just the type of person he is like second to none. Like the dude can connect with anyone like in the building. Like if you're like an inner city Chicago kid to like a small town Iowa kid to like a Tampa Florida kid, like the dude just is like the ultimate relationship builder, I feel like, in my opinion. And like,
agreed.
Again, and like, dude, the thing that gets me most fired up is like in the season, like I'll be riding in on my moped and we're like a morning outfit. So I'll be riding in on my moped at 5 a.m. or like 4:50, and I'll look and the only coach's car in the parking lot's Wallace's. And then I'll leave at like 9 to go straight to bed, and I'll pass Coach Wallace's, him and Mike Parker and like a couple other coaches. Like he's literally in there. He's like the first guy in there every single morning and probably one of the last guys out. He's like, so like, that's like what I respect most about him. Like he genuinely cares about the program, and he's like one hell of a coach. So.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. It's like some people don't realize the hours that these guys put in, especially during the season. Like they don't see their families a whole lot. And Phil and Seth are two prime examples of that. They invest in their guys and they give them every opportunity to succeed. And I think you can say that for over the course of your career, that work that they put in definitely translated onto the field.
For sure. And I mean, yeah, it's just a testament to who he is. I'll also share this other quick story. So we're in fall camp. I don't remember what year it was, or it might have been, I think it was fall camp. It might have been spring ball, though. I can't – that's bad that I don't remember that right off the top of my head. But all I know is it was a fully padded practice. And, like, offensive guys, they, like, try to run through you to gain, like, a few extra yards.
Sure.
And so, like, us – me, Benson, and Jacobs, like, we're, like, kind of the three main guys that year. So we're, like, all on the field. And, like, when we're on the field, we kind of like to be a little douchey. And, like, when they try to, like, run through – when they try to run through us, like, we might try to like spin them down and like tackle them, which is like what we're not supposed to do. And I remember, it was like a jet sweep, and I gave it to Nico, and he fell down when I kind of was around him. And Coach O'Keefe was kind of getting pissed. And the next play, Justin took someone down. And O'Keefe just starts going off on the linebackers, like, stay up, like, you dumb mother. And then Coach Wallace starts getting into it with him. And these two, like, grown-ass coaches are just, like, yelling at each other on the field, talking about, like, Coach O'Keefe's like, you don't know how to coach your guys to stay up. And Coach Wallace is, like, coming back, like, he's home, like shut the hell up. Like, stay on the offensive side of the ball. But, like, they were, like full on, like, screaming at each other. And then, like,
how fired up were you?
I was fired. They all took us out. They took the three linebackers out right away. And that's kind of like,
because you know that's the point of practice where there's like one little late hit and then it's just a fight.
Yeah, exactly. But like that's like another scenario. I feel like he just like stood up for us. And like,
yeah, he's got your back for sure.
Yeah, like we came out the field just like y'all always have your back. Like. Don't ever change the way you play, like just stuff like that. So,
oh man, there's nothing I think got practice a little more lively is when the coaches started jawing at each other. Always love that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never forget. There was one practice. I think it was Man, I forget, but it was.
I thought you said you'll never forget, but then you forgot.
I'll never forget the actual practice. I don't remember when the hell it was, but the defense absolutely beat the piss out of the offense for a
period. Already a fabricated story. It's already a fabricated story.
Usually how it goes, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the offense did not move a yard forward.
Y'all cheat. What do you want?
He better. I don't know.
Phil calls blitzes in periods that aren't supposed to be blitzes.
Oh, my gosh.
And Wallace comes into the meeting room and we're like, going over film from that day. And I'm like, you guys really beat the piss out of these fuckers now. Like you walking past the offensive staff, they don't even look you in the eye the next day. They were just pissed off. yeah, but no, I always love the competition. And like the coaches love competing against each other too. They still do the competition periods during camp and spring ball.
Yeah, like within special teams?
No, the ones where you score them, like the last period of a first team.
Oh, like go like third, like live third and twos.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like, yeah. Yeah, they put you like in a situation.
They, I think maybe my freshman and sophomore year we did goal line, like the score touchdown. But like, I don't think my last 2 years we did. I know my last 2 years we did like live, like third and ones and third and twos. But that was about it.
Do they still do the combat drill special team stuff?
Oh, hell yeah.
You got any combat drill stories?
I don't.
Probably because you were just running through people the whole time or what?
I fortunately was pretty good at like being the front line blocker. So I never got laid out, but I've seen some guys just get demolished. just get demolished. And like Coach Woods will always bring like, he'll pull up tape from like 2014 or 2016.
I guarantee you, he still has Cole Fisher getting absolutely destroyed by Christian Kirksey on there.
Yep. And to throw him under the bus, but I think Gervais is on there.
Gervais is definitely on there. Let's go.
That doesn't surprise me, you know?
Snyder and Gervais. That one was not a great joke for Jake.
Yeah.
Seems like a kind of guy that would do that. You went back, you mentioned when you were talking earlier about when you came in and you had these like these big goals that you wanted to hit. How real were those goals to you as an early, like as a freshman? The vision changes and you start to understand more. Like you said, you start to earn more respect. You start to get playing time. You really start to figure out what college football is. And then you look back, probably right now, you do a lot of sort of reminiscing. You're like, man, I didn't even know what I was in for freshman year. I had no idea. When did those goals, like legitimate goals, like I want to be all Big Ten. You did it all, right? Mm. When did those like really sort of catalyze for you as like, I can actually accomplish this shit?
Yeah. I guess like it kind of goes back to high school. Like I felt like obviously like I wasn't like super like lightly recruited. Like I'm not like Josie where he only had like Luther or like Iowa.
You could have said us. You could have said
that. And like, yeah, but like I felt like I was kind of like overlooked, and like that really pissed me. That really
gave you a chip on your shoulder, huh?
Oh yeah, I got
because you talked about Josie, and I don't know if like you knew Josie much or spoke much with Josie. That guy was the chip on the shoulder guy. He took everything personal. He made sure to search his name on Twitter every single day so that he could only find the bad comments. Like that dude was walking on icebergs. So,
yeah, and like the thing that kind of sparked that was I went to a camp, up in a different Big Ten school. I'm not going to name this guy's name because he's a head coach somewhere now.
Fuck him.
But so it was at Penn State. I'll give you guys that. It was at Penn State. And at the time, this guy was an assistant coach. And like, I felt like I did really well. And like, I got done with the camp and he like told me that I didn't have the right ankle bend. And like, that's something that like always pissed me off was like someone like, just tell me like, I'm not that good of a football player. Like, just don't lie to me about my ankle bend. So like, that's something that like, I kind of carried with me like to Iowa is every year that we played Penn State. Fortunately, I only lost to them my freshman year, but like those guys, like I wanted to beat the piss out of them.
Hell yeah.
But like, even at Iowa, like bro, people like you guys know, like people that just look at us and like, oh, they're just a bunch of like two-star recruits who are like gonna get run through on Saturdays. And it how it always works is we always get like 8 wins a season. Like we should have made it to back-to-back Big Ten championships, but that's not how it goes sometimes. But like, no, that's like that kind of stuff. Like I just carried with myself every single day. But like going into freshman year, I kind of stepped on campus and I just wanted to like be on special teams. And like, that was kind of my viewpoint that for that season. Cause I knew like, if I wanted to be great, like it's going to start on special teams. And they always showed like Bob Sanders running down on like a punt. And like
so you absolutely annihilating someone. Yeah.
Yeah. Breaking this guy's leg.
So you bought in, that story that they tell everybody. And oh, shocker, it worked again. You know, like,
It's also not hard because Wallace was your linebacker coach and he's also one of the biggest special teams advocates. So
100%. So freshman year, I kind of just tried to earn my role on that. I got in a few games freshman year and I'll never forget in 2019, we played Wisconsin and Jonathan Taylor ran all over us. And you guys had this podcast running and I listened to it and you guys were kind of talking about how like disappointed you were in the defense and how like it might be changing. And like, that's something I kind of kept with myself throughout these years.
Fuck. It was like, my man,
like
my man.
Podcast. Yeah.
It was like, well, it's like
the walk-ons are making a difference.
when you're a current player and you like hear that stuff from like guys who have come before you, like if that sits right with you, like, I feel like that's not, like, you're not going to ever be a good football player.
Yep.
And like from me, like from that game, like we absolutely got annihilated. And that was something like stepping forward, like I wasn't going to allow happen like again. And, but I was only a freshman like, again, and I'm still trying to earn my way and like figure my way out. But then like sophomore year, I was going to start, which like, there's not a lot of 3-year starters at Iowa. So I was kind of hyped about that. But I got mono and I missed like the first three games of the season. And it was like the COVID season. Everything was all messed up. Mm. So then me and Benson split time and like just learning from Benson, like I'll get to him later. Cause I'm definitely going to swing back on Benz, but like just being able to kind of rotate with him, it just kind of allowed me to kind of slowly like get my feet wet, I feel like, and just like good experience. And then like 2021 came around and I'm like, you know, like I'm just like, I kind of had a few like kind of good games in 2020.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. A couple.
Yeah. And like kind of people were starting to kind of figure out who I was. And I'm like, you know, like let's run with this. And I'm like my goal for this year, like me and Wall sat down, I'm like, I want to be a first team All Big Ten. I want to win the linebacker of the year in the Big Ten. And I kind of left it at that for my junior year because I honestly didn't know. And then I had a pretty good junior year.
Decent junior year.
Decent junior year. And then like going into my senior year, I wanted it all. I'm like literally every award. I'm like, I'm going to win all these. And he's like, I just need you to continue to coach me the way you've been coaching me. And like, we're going to win every single award that I've like written down in this book. And we did that.
That's fucking unbelievable. That.
And like Coach Morgan too. Like I came on campus my freshman year and he's the one, like I was his last recruiting class and he like looked me in the eyes and he's like, I don't say this to many people, but Jack, you're going to be a 2-time first Big Ten linebacker here. And like, when I heard that, like it kind of got me thinking, like kind of put pressure on me. Cause like hearing those words from a guy like that. But I'm super grateful for that. And like, it just shows how good of a coach he is. He saw like the kind of prospect I was going to be and what I could have turned into, but ultimately it was kind of on me to turn myself into that guy he saw in like his visions. I don't know if he dreamt of it, like him and Parker, those dudes are insane. But like,
yeah, they got special powers, huh?
They do.
They've seen a lot of players, man. They've coached a lot of greats, and there's a certain aura and set of intangibles about the greats that these guys can see.
How much do you guys want to bet? I'll take the bet that Jack Campbell eats unbelievable amounts of pork, right? You guys know that we've done a little deal with the pork producers out of Washington County, the biggest pork producing county in Iowa. My favorite place to hit at the state fair every year. In fact, Jack talks about them later, potentially being a sponsor of Jack Campbell in a certain venture. We're going to get there in the podcast, but we want you to know, maybe you're youngin' out there, right? Maybe shouldn't be listening to this podcast, but if you are and you want to be big and strong like Jack Campbell, you want to grow up big and strong, be a Big Ten linebacker. Well, I would add some pork into your diet. Pork chops, ribs, bacon, pork butt. Find something. That protein, it's going to help rebuild muscle after a workout. It's going to help rebuild that tissue. It's incredibly healthy for you, protein is. And pork has a lot of it. So if you want to be like Jack Campbell, get yourself some pork. Let's hear more about what Jack has to say.
Yeah, but on the other hand, there's been a lot of guys that, you know, walked in the building with really high expectations. And I probably have had coaches say similar things to them. How do you let something like that not go to your head and just...
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's just how I was raised. Like, my family and, like, my grandparents were, like, really influential in my life. But, like, just, like, the selflessness and, like, humility and, like, humbleness, like, I just... It just was kind of part of who I was. Like, I don't really like the spotlight at all. So I would just say, like, just focus on, like, little things that matter. And, like, Coach, like, my freshman year, Coach Doyle was there, and he was, like, really influential in that process. I might have just opened a can of worms right there.
No, this is the episode we just did.
Pro Coach Doyle podcast there is.
Yeah, but, like, he like kind of paved the way and set a foundation for me. And like same with Coach Braithwaite. Coach Braithwaite, it's great too. I really like both those guys. Like I owe them a lot within my development as a young man. I came to Iowa, I was 205 pounds when I came.
Same.
And I left at 250. So that's pretty good.
How many shakes a day were you?
Freshman year, I was probably around 5 42s a day, and then like 4 blendeds.
So I have 42s.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I would have at least like 3 chocolates, and then I'd try to get like 1 veggie or 2 veggies.
Dude, you were getting like 500 grams of protein a day. Yeah. That's 300 just from the shakes.
Yeah, no question. I was dead set on getting as many calories as I could. Like I could. There was a point like I could hardly eat.
Like, question: how much toilet paper are you going through?
the dorms.
Jack, that's, I mean, like I, the
that's
Jennings
insane.
The Jennings dunker story came out in the middle of like the season or the preseason that he was he was doing like 14 a day or something like that.
He's,
like, but
he's different.
Is he stupid strong?
Dude, stupid strong. He's different. That dude's different.
He just has
like I was around with Werfs for a little bit, and like that dude's like different too.
The ultimate freak. Like, he could be the best offensive lineman to ever play.
Yeah, no, 100%. Tristan Werfs is insane. But Jennings Dunker, like he's bench press the most weight I've ever seen like anyone do for like 10 reps or like 12 reps. I can't remember the exact weight, but I know there was 3 plates on there and he repped it off for like 12, like easily.
Decent.
So you're saying that you think Jennings is stronger than Tristan?
Maybe in the bench. I don't remember Tristan's bench. Like no one will ever come close to like cleans with Tristan or anything like that. But his squats up. Jennings squats up there too. I don't even know, but he just a specimen.
So did you ever get to play with Brady Ross?
Oh yeah. Oh, Brady. Yes. I got a bunch of good stories about Brady Ross.
Yes. So do we.
Dude, I love that guy. And like, as a freshman, like what a great guy. Like he like would always look out for me and like always start conversations with me. But just an interesting dude.
Yeah.
He's well read on just a variety of topics and he can deep dive into anything. Yeah. And he's got some really interesting opinions. We got to have him back on the podcast here.
He won't fucking come on. He's too worried about making McBiscuits
for Jones.
Yeah. So back to the protein shakes quick. And so, yeah. So you just like hated your life for a while. Cause you were,
yeah. I mean, I just knew like, if I wanted to play in the Big Ten and play a linebacker and like do it soon, like I had to get to at least 235.
So how quickly did you do that?
My sophomore year, I played at 235. So from
you gained 30 pounds in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus
my sophomore
Christ.
Year, I was like in the two, I was like 232, 233.
Oh. And how was your strength development from your first year to your second year?
Yeah, like my lower body like exploded.
Yeah.
Like no, I had a labrum surgery when I came in. So like, I've never been like,
welcome to the club, dude.
Yeah. So like my bench press, my freshman year was terrible. But so like when you're a freshman, if you look at a weight and like you're around like Doyle and Braithwaite, like you're just going to get stronger. So
all you got to do is smell the weights and they get you stronger immediately.
Exactly. And like have some common sense and try to get like at least like 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
It's hard to do though. It's hard to do.
Especially yeah. That freshman year in the dorm room, especially
exactly.
You, cause y'all started off in Peterson. And you guys got like chicks that could be living right next to you, right across from you. Like at least in Hillcrest, they're like 50 yards down the hall, right?
Yeah, and Peterson was like a co-ed dorm, so it's like the wild west. Like on Friday nights, like before, like what? Like the first game, I didn't travel to the hotel with the team, I believe. And I remember like on Friday night before the game, we opened up with someone and like. There was just music was like so loud, like throughout the whole hall, like people are just running around everywhere. It was a mess. And like,
we used to have parties in our hall on Friday nights. So everybody would just come out in the hall and just party in the hall.
Really?
Right outside Drake and I's room.
Yeah. No.
Second floor was worse though. We had it a little bit better on the third floor.
That's true. I will say that Drake, this is just a sidebar. It would have been bad news. We were in Peterson. I just got feelings.
Horrible news.
Would have been bad news. I'm not going to elaborate. Would have been bad news. Okay.
I'll speak on Brandon Ross real quick. I had one story about him.
Sure.
Like, so like, you know, like, did you guys ever do special teams meetings? Like player led special teams meetings?
Oh no.
Yeah. So that was my job actually.
Okay.
Bubar would always like go over and he's like, hey, we got to get these guys together more. I can't do it. So I need you to do this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that's what Brady did for me. And like throughout the season, they just kept getting shorter and shorter. And by the end of the season, we were setting the over under line at like 14 and a half seconds. He would literally walk in the room and all these, it would only be the defensive guys that showed up. He'd walk in the room. We'd be playing like, for instance, like I'll give you an example, like maybe Michigan. And he'll be like, or like Wisconsin, we'll play Wisconsin. He'll be like, punt, pro style punt, kickoff. They're a 55 deep kick left team, kickoff return. They're double the R4, trap the R5, field goal line that gets like the 33. And then like punt for the punt block, they're like 55% rush and it'd be done. And we would just be dying laughing because like – it's just like, what the hell are you doing, dude?
B. Ross got real thin on them meetings, huh?
He did.
Oh,
he
did. Man.
That's funny. I respect it because, you know, it's kind of the same. Like, I think the first meeting I did was like 20 minutes. I'm like, what am I doing? All right.
Yeah.
Like, wait. I love special teams. That's literally all I did, but there's only so many things they can fucking do.
Exactly.
There's nothing more brutal than the bull prep special teams because you watch every clip 900 times.
Yeah, you see the same shit over and over again. Unreal.
We should talk about KF, dude. I really want to hear.
KF. Oh yeah, you asked about KF earlier. Yeah.
No, like, so coach. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you've had a few special moments that have gone viral. I know you don't give a shit about Twitter and all that, but you know, you're the bowl game, obviously, and then you know you over at just. This past weekend at the combine, they bring it up and they're interviewing you and you get emotional. You know, I think people see it over and over again and they just never understand it unless they've met the guy and you can take it from there.
Yeah, no, like Coach French, like I like am forever grateful for him. Just because, like, you guys know, like, it's not all about football. Like, your whole career is going to develop you as, like, a man first and then as a football player. And, like, that's what I respect the most out of them, because, like, you see all these slime balls out there now in college football who are just, like, shitty examples of what it's to be, like, a good human being. And, like, I'm not trying to judge anyone or anything, but, like, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I would rather go 0-12 and be led by Coach Ferentz and be represented by a good man than go 12-0 to a guy who, like, beats his wife and, like, gets DUIs and shit like that. So I would say, like,
preach.
Just having the opportunity to, like, play for someone like that. But then, like, again, like, a guy who, like, believes in guys who, like, a lot of people don't believe in and, like, gives them an opportunity to come to Iowa and, like, earn your right. Like, if you're a walk-on or a scholarship guy, like, you're viewed the same. Like, just the way he approaches his program and, like, the culture he's made there. Like, for me, that's what, like, makes me the most proud to, like, be coached by him and be a player from Iowa. Like, I truly, like, think he runs it like a professional organization.
Yeah.
And there's,
that's why so many Hawks succeed in the NFL, dude. We've already done the shit that hard.
Exactly. And it's ridiculous that people always question him and, like, all this. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for, like, 25 years and, like, has a proven track record. But, like, the thing, like, I respect most about him is just, like, has integrity, treats everyone the same. Like, he'll, like, open door policy. Like, he's a player first coach. But, like, when you go out on the field, like, he expects things from you. And, like, he's going to hold you to the highest standard, no matter if you're the third team long snapper or the first team quarterback. And, like, there's just been so many good memories with him. Just how he's treated my family, always remembers everyone's name.
It's insane.
Like,
always.
Handwritten notes. Like, the most recent one I can think of is, so after the bowl game, my grandfather, like, passed away during that.
Yeah.
And he, like, wrote, like, a handwritten note to, like, my whole family, like, sent flowers after the game, like, met with me and my family. He, like, brought me and my family into the locker room, met with all of us in, like, an individual way. Him, Coach Wallace, and Coach Parker all met with me in this little room and, like, with my family. And, like, that doesn't happen anywhere else. Like, that they care that much about their players. And, like, that's what, like, that's what gets me so fired up about him, is because, like, he gave me a shot when a lot of people, like, didn't give me a shot. And, like, for me to be where I'm at right now, like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't without KF. Like, I don't know where I'd be, but it wouldn't be getting ready to get drafted and continue my football career. Like, I don't even know what I'd be doing, but, like,
you might have worked out, but
I don't know. It would have been different, I feel like, because like the perspective and all the knowledge I gained from him, like, maybe I do make it somewhere else, but, like, Iowa, like, that program's, it's run like no other. Like, it's run like second to none. Like, there's no other program run like Iowa. And, like, people listening to this are gonna be like, oh, you're so biased. Like, but, like, I have friends that play at other places too. And, like, it just sounds like a shit show. Yeah. So, like, I'm like, to just have, like, a low key, like, philosophy, like, it's super simple, but it's hard to do. And I feel like that's what Coach Ferentz does at the highest level. And, like,
simple, not easy.
Like, exactly. And he's changed my life forever. So, like, that's why I kind of get all worked up, like, when people, like, ask me about him. Like, just that picture, like, the picture that they show, like, it's like, that's my favorite picture ever. And, like, it shows who he is as a man. Like, so
you just so much deeper than football with the coaches in that in that program. It's
exactly,
it's much deeper than just a game.
You basically just described, like, why we started the podcast. It's just because we felt all the same things that you felt.
Yeah.
And, like, in our football careers, we're not continuing, unfortunately. And so we were like, man, we really got to find a way to just kind of, like, keep this in our lives. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And coming from three guys who have so much respect for the guys at running that program and just the program in general, just you can't imagine how good it feels to tell, to hear from current guys or guys, obviously you just graduated, still talk about it in the manner that we remember it as. Like, feels fucking damn good, man.
Yeah,
feels fucking damn good.
Does feel good.
Yeah.
You're decent. You're a decent representative of the university too. Like you're one of the top. Do you feel pressure?
Do I feel pressure? Honestly, not too bad. Like before the season, like the only really pressure I feel like I faced was like I was like a preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, and like kind of facing that. But like at the end of the day, you know, I'm like, no matter what, like I'm just gonna be Jack Campbell. Like people can like, if they don't like me, they can kick a rock, and if they like me, then like let's ride. Like,
let's ride.
Let's get the Hawks to the Big Ten championship again. But that's like the extent of pressure I felt like preparing for the combine. Like all these people just see me and like they instantly make an assumption about me that I'm not athletic. I wonder why.
Well, I mean, like, we may have just proved them wrong a little bit.
I mean,
last couple of days, huh?
Yeah, so I feel like I did kind of prove myself in that aspect and open some people's eyes. But
I made some money.
Yeah, you're a freak, dude. Let's just call a spade, you're a freak show.
No,
Jack, you are though, because when we graduated and you came into the program, my brother was there for a while. You probably know Zach.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that I talked to, they said this guy Jack Campbell, he runs like a deer.
They said you versus conditioning was a pathetic, lopsided fight.
I could for sure go all day.
Yeah. That's what we heard.
Bro, when like Doyle and like Braithwaite are like standing in the middle of the field and like you got your boys like next, like I could go all day. Like,
hey, but hey, no, Jack, that's not how it works though for most people, buddy, because Doyle stood in the middle of the field when I ran. But my lung capacity and athletic ability did not tell me I could go all day. Yeah. Mine said, find the nearest trash can, right?
Yeah,
so exactly. So that I understand that you are, I mean, when I heard that you ran like a deer and that it just wasn't like, did you ever struggle at all in any conditioning workout ever?
I mean, I got to push myself to exhaustion. Like I try to every rep I ran, I sprinted. Like 100%, like 100% full bore. So like, I try to get myself as tired as I could, but like at the end of the day, like there's all these stories. Like when I came in, Coach Doyle, like Josie Jewell was a guy I looked up to, and like he always talked about how Josie would, like
Josie ran hard conditioning.
Like
Josie was a competitive motherfucker too.
Yeah. And like I heard when Chad was on the podcast, like Chad Greenway, like that's a dude I looked up to since high school, and like talking about like the way he approached conditioning. So like I felt like that was kind of what I had to do, to like be like to be a linebacker to play. Like I played thousands of snaps a year, and like to be able to do that at the highest level, you got to be conditioned. And I feel like in the summer, there's nothing more important than getting your body ready for the season. So
you and I had
when did it become easy, dude? When did football become easy?
I mean, I feel like it became easy probably like the end of my sophomore season. Like I just started
when the confidence out. Meets the preparation, it just starts physical. It just,
yeah. Like between like fit, like physically, like learning the Iowa defense, like that's something that's not easy for a young guy to do. Basically like just all the checks within that. And then like, honestly just having confidence in yourself. And I feel like that was like at the end of my second year, I was like I know the defense good enough. Like at the end of the day, like I'm not gonna stress about like every little detail. Like just go out there and like get the football. Like that's what Coach Parker told me.
Yeah.
And then once I started getting the damn football, then I started like trying to figure out the details a little bit more. And like then my third and my fourth year were just.
You knew they couldn't fuck with you. You just, it was a wrap. You were gonna make the plays because they couldn't see you.
Yeah, I was just trying to make as many tackles as I could.
Yeah,
but nowadays everyone throws the damn ball, so like I can't get as many tackles as like in like 05 when Hodge and Greenway, like they shot like 150 tackles.
Yeah,
like I was trying to break that. I was trying to get as many tackles as I was just
On the opposite side of that, now you at least don't have to take on 50 B plays a game. So you got that going.
That is true.
When you talk, Jack, you have a supreme confidence about you, and it's not cockiness, something that I never mastered. and you talk about being confident, being trusting in yourself, all this stuff. And I don't know if you'll admit this or not, but I'm going to tell you that you have a proclivity for true belief in yourself paired with a lot of natural ability. Do you realize that, like, for lack of a better term, like, you're better than other people, like most other people. And that's sort of where I'm going with the pressure thing is like your ceiling potential. Do you realize that yours is higher than most? And does that put the chip in your shoulder? Like, do you have a little bit of fear of like, damn, I don't want to leave anything on the table?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like for me, like where I get that chip on my shoulder is just all these people always questioning me. And like, honestly, all these people questioning Iowa, because like, I just care about like the people inside that building so much. And for me to like go out there and prove and show like the whole world, like we do have the best coaching staff. We do have the best developmental people, like support staff around. And for me, that was kind of my way of like going out on the field and like proving. For me, like I'm a huge Iowa, like any high school Iowa kid who like dominates and like proves people wrong, it makes me so happy.
Are you a big Cooper DeJean fan?
I'm a huge Cooper DeJean fan, a huge Brody Brech fan. Like that, like when he took down number one LSU and like just was striking guys out,
hype,
and telling them and like probably flipping. He's probably on the mound flipping them off. Like that makes me so happy. Like to see a young Iowa dude like going out there and living his dream, and like for me that's what I wanted to do. And like I feel like that kind of came like Pat Anger, like his story.
You know Pat?
And like, he's just like an Iowa boy who just didn't give a crap about anything than playing football. And like, for me, that's like what I wanted to do. And I wanted to do it at the highest level. And I feel like so many people question us all the time. So like that chip on my shoulder just kind of stayed there. And I feel like I kind of had that mentality of just like, I'm going to prove myself every single day. I would say it was a little, like, there is a little bit of like fear of not being the best version of Jack Campbell.
Yeah.
Like that. I feel like that drives me quite a bit. Like, I don't want to sit back when I'm like 60 and look back at this time frame right now and be like, I should have done this. Like, what if this? Like, I'm just going to let it rip right now and just let it all fall into place. But like at the end of the day, like, I feel like when you come from Iowa, you just got this chip on your shoulder that like no one can really explain. And I feel like that's what kind of drives me.
Do you know Anger personally?
Follow up question.
What's up?
Do you know Anger personally? Oh, go ahead, Kev. Go.
I was going to say, just because, do you want to be the governor of Iowa? Because it feels like
I do. That's the thing. I was going to cut. Like, that's one thing that I would like be interested in. I have thought about like becoming a governor.
Dude, you're
like,
fucking. You're hired.
I have no political background, but I just feel like just like person to represent the state and like someone who's proud of the state. Like, I'm probably far from the credit. Like, whatever like credits I need to like be able to get into that
doesn't matter, but man. Half the politicians out there aren't qualified for shit. I just want good people out there, and I feel like you'd run the state to the fucking moon, baby.
What is it? 28, 32, 36. Campbell, 2036. Print the shirts, baby.
Do we need it? I also have thought about like, if this is kind of recent, but like hopefully someday, like I think it'd be pretty cool to become like a GM or like something with like it within the NFL, or like
that wants to be a governor and a GM. High aspirations.
I don't think I could be a coach like though, because those college coaches are insane.
Not a healthy lifestyle either.
Exactly. Like I feel like, I mean, being the governor and being a GM, your schedule is probably not.
It's also not great.
Too easy either. But like those are just things I think would be fun to just be in a position to build like an organization up. Like I feel like that's something that I feel like I'd kind of fit in.
Now, other three, Grant included, when he says that, you believe him. That Jackson, yeah, sure. Jack's a guy that he says that kind of shit. And I'm like, yeah, he's the fucking governor in 20 years.
And Jack, you 23? You 23, 24?
I'm 22.
Okay, so you're
when you're 20 years old and your nickname is now Captain Jack of the Iowa Hawkeyes as a sophomore, it's like, yeah, this guy could lead the goddamn country if he wants to.
I mean, what I was about to say is that, Jack, you've been here 22 years, and I'm not sure that there's anything you've put your mind to at that you've failed. So down the road, with all the more life experience you're going to get, I think you're just going to continue to not fail at the shit you put your mind to. So go be the governor, dude. I'll vote for you 100%.
I'm excited. Right now, my full focus is on football, but after that's over, I'm going to take that as long as I can. But when that's over, just trying to figure out what I want to do, who knows? But I feel like the governor thing came from after the season this year, Miss Miller Meeks, she's a legislator or something. And she wrote me a handwritten note, congratulating me on my season. And I feel like there's not a lot of people who would do that. So I'm I'll run next to her.
I swear.
How cool would it be? He brought up anger, Campbell Anger 2036.
Dude.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Let's get
I was trying to ask you, Jack, do you know Pat personally?
So I have Pat's number. I've texted with him a little bit.
Cool.
But he's been a guy any middle linebacker, you strive to be like that.
Yeah.
And for me, he's just been a huge influence on my career as well. He has a quote in the linebacker room I look at every single day, and it says to be a good Hawkeye linebacker, the only thing you have to care about is being a good Hawkeye linebacker. And that was something that I'd stick with, that stuck with me throughout my career. But Pat, he's the man for sure.
Yeah. And I was going to say, we need to get you in touch with Pat if you have him, because he can just give you some tidbits that just stick with you, man. And Pat's great. He's great people.
Stay away from his physical shape, though. He's let it go a little bit. He's getting a little that boy.
Does Wall still have the acronyms on the wall there?
Yeah. My Becker. I'm brilliant at the basics.
Which one's your favorite?
There's eliminate the distractions. That's probably not my favorite though. I would say 6 seconds of hell.
That's a Norm Parker thing, right?
Yeah, that's a Norm Parker thing. Yeah. But the way they made it so simple, to go out there and play for 6 seconds and give them hell, that's the thing that sticks with me. And I feel like I try to play with that. So.
And it turns out Jack has 6,000 minutes of hell, if you want, because his because his lung capacity is that of whales, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm fired up. I'm fired up talking to this guy. Yeah. Just spent the last weekend at the combine, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, you've mentioned it multiple times already. You're under recruited. Now you're probably feeling pretty similar coming out of college because people are doubting Jack. Yeah. Guy
he
was
won
a butt,
the fucking butt kiss.
Butt
and people
kiss winner.
Still questioning you, dude. Yeah. What is that? Think about the stupidity.
It's ridiculous. I showed up there, and there's some great dudes, but no one really wanted to talk to me. Within the players, there's a little clique and like different groups, but I was just damn, I just want to get to know you guys, but near the end of the week, I met some really good dudes and we kind of hit it off, but. In the start, everyone was just looking at me and I just felt weird. I'm gonna go out there on Thursday or whatever. I'm gonna prove some people wrong. But I met with a lot of cool people though. That was really cool. I met with a lot of cool coaches, a lot of cool scouts. Just get to hear their insight, hear their stories.
Did you feel good about those interviews? I mean, you had to crush those things, right?
Yeah, I did pretty good. I think so. I would think
a lot of board talk.
So they pull up some plays from last season, and there'd be some plays that popped up, and I knew them instantly. There were some other ones I kind of had to watch for a little bit to figure out what we were in and everything, but they went really well. And I feel the NFL has a great appreciation for Iowa's defense as well. So
yeah, right, they do.
What I've learned,
This is
go ahead, go.
Well, I was gonna play devil's advocate here. I just, you know, you go into those things, and I don't know if you're like Josie or not. I'm sure Josie spent just like months reading this stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, you pull up a draft profile of Jack Campbell. I literally just did it as you were answering that last question. And it says, you know, he's slow to react and locate the ball against the run, you know? A stretch to be able to cover tight ends in the NFL. Do you read that kind of stuff and you just feel like, you're just like, fuck yeah, dude, wait. Just wait.
Josie had poor side-to-side
mobility. Side-to-side lateral mobility and agility.
It's ridiculous. But, like, for me, like, again, like, I'm used to it. And, like, people can keep doing it, and I feel like it just fuels my fire.
Yeah it just stokes it, right? And then you go out and they got and this is, you know, this is just a fun thing for the outside people as well, but they have this thing called like a RAS score, right? Relative athletic score.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have the best all-time as long snapper in the history of the world. Yeah,
congrats.
Yeah. Hella short though. Did not help. Thank you though, Jack, I appreciate that. You went out and basically had a perfect one as well as a linebacker. You know, kind of going against all of these weaknesses that they're talking about. Like you had to walk away from the field work and from your testing feeling like,
yeah,
you just like did it again.
I wanted to walk like through the field and just like flip everyone off.
Yeah.
Like, cause like, that's how it is. Like people are going to still sit back there and be like, oh, he ran a 4.65. But like, bro, all these other linebackers weighed in at 225. Like, it's like the lightest linebacker class there's ever been since 2003.
And if you were 225, you would be flying.
I mean, I'd hope I'd be running as fast as those guys.
And you play football fast as hell. Just turn on the tape.
Exactly. And then it's like, we don't play football in like compression shorts and cutoffs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they know what the NFL should do. They should put full pads on and sure on the 40.
Honestly, what they should.
Let's do it.
What do you think? If I take half a second, maybe off.
It's got to take something off.
Tell you what, for my sake, I'm glad we didn't play in compression shorts. That would have been bad.
Yeah.
How do you feel like overall, like your test, like going into it, like these were my goals to hit. How do you feel like you did as far as your testing?
Yeah, my vertical goal like was going in was like 36 inches, so I beat that pretty good.
Crushed that, Jesus.
My broad jump goal, I don't know what the hell happened, but my goal was like 10'2". I got that. Yeah. I knew I was kind of disappointed in my 3-cone though. My 3-cone should have been better.
Your all time. Like best linebacker 3-cone should have been better.
Yeah, because so my first rep, they made me do it 3 times. My first rep, they said I went over this cone. It was close. And I came away from that, and I looked at those guys and their faces with the stopwatch, and they told me it was a pretty dang good time, and I feel like that time would have been a little bit better than my other time. But
What did you run?
I ran like a 6.74 or 6.73 or something. I was hoping to get in the 6.5s though.
So folks don't exactly understand how elite 6.74 is.
7 seconds is like good. It's like really good.
Yeah. And I knew Josie ran like a 6.8 something. Cause I kind of like, before I went, I was kind of like, I'm never comparing myself to those guys, but at the same time, like I just kind of getting ready, like what's a good benchmark, and like so I looked at like Kirksey, Greenway, Jewel, like Keekly, like guys like that, and I feel like I did a pretty good job.
So are we testing again at Pro Day, or are we have?
I don't know. Part of me wants to try the 3-cone again and get a
hopefully. If there's anything, I'm not sure. If there's anything I'd recommend doing again at Pro Day, it's running the 40, because your 40 time's going to improve. Like the NFL combine times are always the slowest that you get.
For sure. And like, I respect guys who can go out there and ball on the combine, because like we have interviews till like 11 p.m. and then we wake up at like 6.
It's a grueling schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, and the food, like the NFL is trying to save as much money as they can, so the food's just not that good.
That's no offense.
Like the people who prepared it, I'm super grateful for, but the NFL, like,
The $100 billion operation can't afford a $20 lunch for it. Yeah, Josie told us it was the worst 2 days of his life.
Yeah, and like they have people sleeping in like train cars.
What?
Like, there's
what?
Like, yeah, so there's a hotel. It's a hotel, but there's like train cars, and there's rooms inside these train cars, and they're tiny. And people will like stay in there.
The NFL had you guys at Auschwitz? What are we doing? Roger Goodell.
This needs to be written up.
It's just like, it's ridiculous.
It's so despicable.
Like, I mean, they're just trying to test you, though, I feel like. And like, so anyone who can like perform at the combine, I have a lot of respect for.
Do you actually think that? Do you think they make some of the protocol on purpose so that?
For sure.
100%.
They're just trying to break you. They're just trying to break you.
Wow. Wow. Let's go back. You're talking about Benson. Tell me about Benson.
I feel like Benson's like one of the most underrated guys in Iowa football history.
We're big Seth Benson fans on this podcast.
And that's something like big to say, but like the dude like is one of the toughest people I've ever been around. He's one of the best leaders I've ever been around. And people like usually like, cause like, I hate to say it, but like me and Justin, like coming in, Justin was kind of like the like everyone was kind of looking at him.
He was the dude.
He had stars. Yeah.
And then I kind of started playing a little bit, and then people kind of started liking me. And like a lot of people like really never talked about Benson, which I feel really bad for. Like I wish Benson's probably better than me. So I really wish people would talk more about Benson, but like just the way he plays the game, like old school dude, like only had an opportunity to go to South Dakota State, comes to Iowa, balls in the Big Ten. Like he was like one of the best guys in pass coverage this year. Like it's just ridiculous. Like that's a guy I feel like is going to just get to a team and he's going to stick because he's just one hell of a guy. Like,
and no one's going to know. Everyone's going to ask where he's from and they're going to be like Iowa.
And I feel like he's like an Ike Butker type of guy.
He's Ben Neiman, in my opinion. He's just going to probably get picked up by the Chiefs, win a Super Bowl. And,
exactly. And then sign. He's done with the Cardinals now, isn't he?
Ben? Well, he signed a one-year deal. I don't know if he did get re-signed.
He hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't signed with anybody yet. But I know he still has his place down here.
He will.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah. So, Jack, speaking of Seth. Seth graduates, you graduate, Jacobs is going to Oregon. Who are we backfilling at the linebacker spots this year? Who do you like?
I'll just go with some like older guys. Because usually like at Iowa, like usually your older guys lead. I feel like Jay Higgins is a great candidate.
Sure. Yeah, we saw him a few times throughout the year. Yeah.
Yep. Kyler Fisher is gonna be a great candidate. I'll put like Carson Shire in there. He's kind of a younger guy with a lot of potential.
Okay.
I know I'm missing a few guys. We got a transfer, so that'll be interesting how that goes.
Yeah.
I'm definitely missing one more though. There's another guy.
You've had a lot on your mind. Do you feel like it's, you know, it's always next man in on that defense, right?
Well, people don't realize as linebackers, like we depend on the defensive line, and the defensive line's full of a bunch of fifth and sixth year guys.
Yeah.
And when you have that, it makes a linebacker job so easy.
Yeah.
And when you have guys who can act out at corner and safety, you're just going to pick the ball off every single time and keep, so they're going to keep all the plays interior. People don't understand like how easy that is to play. So
that has to feel pretty good, right? Having Coop and Riley and Kayvon, like what's going on? Like you're sitting in the middle, just going, "Hey, I'm cushy right now."
Like you got dudes like Lucas Van Ness rushing the passer, and then
that makes your life easy.
That's one of the biggest freak shows I've ever seen. He actually looks like Hercules. Y'all weren't playing.
Yeah, no, he's insane. Just like his genetics are second to none.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, no.
Does he talk much?
He's a year younger than me. Me and him, like, we're a good guy, like good friends, like within the like within the building, outside the building. I hung out with him a little bit, but not much. So,
were you and Benson best friends outside of the building too?
Yeah, we'd go like we'd haunt with each other, do some stuff.
Who'd you live? Who'd you live with?
So I lived with a good group. I lived with Kyler Fisher, Jackson Ferks, a walk on tight end from Cedar Falls.
Yeah.
So you got to give him a shout out.
Shout out to him.
Talk about a guy who gives a hell of a look on scout team and like played his role at the highest level. Like he's that guy, and I respect the hell out of him. And then I live with Logan Lee.
Mm.
He's just a tough like Midwest kid. Wins state wrestling championships.
I shook his hand. I shook his hand.
Bear paws,
bro, dude. I've shook Brandon Sheriff's hand. Tristan Wirf's. I shook his hand at the summer event, the summer family Hawkeye Legacy event. And I looked at him and I said, dude, I said, hey, you're in the wrong place because you're a lumberjack. And there's no forest around here. So certainly.
Did you feel emasculated, Kloof?
I felt like a 14-year-old girl in the presence of Logan Lee.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Made you feel that way for sure. And then I lived with Laporta as well.
Shout out to Laporta. He ran fast.
Major shout out to Laporta.
Boy can fly, I guess, huh?
He can fly.
More importantly, bro, he can play football. That's what matters.
Big time player football. We knew that, though.
Yeah. He's underrated, in my opinion, too. I mean,
yeah, he's kind of flying under.
I mean, that 40 just, I feel like, drafted him up another round at least.
At least.
For sure.
So, where did you train at?
I trained in Irvine, like Orange County, California. Okay.
And, you're not a big Cali guy, I don't think, huh?
Yeah.
You've got to be careful with that answer right now.
Yeah, Let me ask you this, Jack. Why
a couple teams in Cali.
Why didn't you go with Sam out to Nashville and train with Jay Holt?
For me, like I met my agent through you remember the name Ross Pierce Baker?
He went to Cedar Falls. That's Ike's boy.
Yeah, it's so and he's played for Alabama, won like four national championships, and like
he won it all there, dude.
Yeah, his agent. I met him, and like I liked him a lot, just a genuine dude.
Felt good.
And he wanted me to come out here, and I'm just like, you know what, like let's just do it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what brought me out here.
No, that's super important. I mean, you want the right fit.
Yeah, and I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of cool guys out here. I worked with like Shea McClellan. He was the 19th overall pick.
Yeah, Shea McClellan, that's a good draft. Yeah.
From Boise State, and then I worked with Luke Kuechly, and I've worked with Bobby Ariki from like he's at the Colts, but now he's a free agent. So I've worked with some good dudes.
If you're learning from Kuechly, then you're learning from the best.
I was just saying.
Yeah, no, that was amazing.
You worked out with Kuechly.
Yeah, for like a week. Yeah.
Nice. Is he an animal still?
Bro, yeah, he could still play for sure.
Oh, he was so
bad. Yeah, he quit kind of because concussions, but like that dude could still play for sure.
Is that something that worries you playing the game at all, or you just play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man,
you're probably the guy who's handing them out. You probably didn't get many.
I mean, the worst part though is like I can't play the mouthpiece, and I feel like supposedly a mouthpiece is supposed to help you a little bit, but.
There's a lot of big hitters that don't play the mouthpiece. George does not play with a mouthpiece.
Yeah, mouthpieces are terrible.
Mm. Whoa. Interesting. Mm.
Dude, I'd be worried I'm going to bite my tongue off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Kev. Kev, guess what? You know what? Me and you, we're not Jack Campbell, right?
We're not the same. We're just not the same.
Does this process excite you? You know, I guess, what do we have, a month? Maybe a little bit more than a month before this draft thing? Does it feel real?
I'm super excited. Not yet, but I'm super excited to just get back to Iowa and then just like figure everything out. So
yeah, that was my next question. I'm sure these guys have plenty more, but it feels like you're going to miss Iowa. It feels like you're very patriotic towards Iowa. You've said it in several different ways during this interview. Mm-hmm. I hate to do it, but it reminds me of Josie. There's a lot of Josie in you. Josie's itching to get back to Iowa as soon as he can. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about being the governor and stuff like that. It's Have you had time to reflect on your 4 years in Iowa City?
I've taken like some time within this like little break before the combine and after the season to kind of reflect. But like, I feel like it's not going to hit me until like I'm done. Like I already miss it. Like I was out like 2 weeks and like out here training and it's just not the same. Like training back in Iowa. So like someday, like whenever stuff's done, like I'm definitely going to live back in Iowa. Probably just live in like some little town. Not be bothered by too many people. Hopefully be the governor. I'll be the governor.
You're going to move to this little town and they're immediately going to make you the mayor. And then next
dude, week, Jack, I'm telling you, you're a lock for governor.
You're about to speak this into existence for real.
I hope I am.
No, Jack, literally what you have to do is don't take a position on any political issue. Just run on the fact that you're Jack Campbell. You will win.
Yeah, exactly.
So this podcast has some pretty like rabid fans and you already have secured thousands of votes today.
Let's go.
I don't even think they needed the podcast. I think any Hawkeye fan is already voting for him. And then you probably get a lot of Iowa State fans too.
And here's the announcement.
You guys got anything else for him before we...
We got to let G-Bone ask a question, dude. He's been sitting here patiently for over an hour.
That's
true. Yeah, come on, buddy.
Yeah, no, I got a question for you. So, sorry. I watched a lot of your high school basketball tape. Incredibly impressive. No surprise there for how athletic you are. If you're playing, you're suiting up for the Hawkeyes tomorrow. You're playing in Carver Hawkeye Arena. What's your stat line?
That's a good question.
Great question.
Who are we playing?
You're playing the team you hate the most.
Playing Iowa State.
I'm saying I'm at least having 10 points. I'll give myself 10 points. Those will all be like layups in the paint, maybe through free throws.
Yeah.
I'm going to give myself 10 rebounds.
You're getting 15 rebounds, dude. You're the most physical player on the court and you can jump out of the gym.
That is true. I didn't think about that. I haven't played in a while.
Play any pickup during your time at Iowa at all?
Not much.
Smart man. Got to save my ankles, dude. Don't hurt the knees and ankles.
We tried that once and it was, fuck.
Yeah. I would probably have like, I'd have 10 assists. So I'm going triple double.
He's dropping a triple double right now out of the cold.
Double-er. I love to share the ball. And then I'm having four fouls.
Probably five and just going out right at the end.
Maybe.
Dude, I would pay so much money to see a Jack Campbell split the gap, steal, breakaway dunk, just hammer it. Oh my God.
Windmill.
I feel like it'd be a lot cooler to be in a wrestling match though. Like one on one with a dude.
Did you watch Big Ten Finals?
I kind of kept up on my phone. I haven't watched them. I know like we're like, did we win it?
No, we got Penn State. Yeah. They win.
Penn State's bonkers. Too good.
Yeah. Would you step on the mat with Spencer Lee?
I would. I'm not going to speak on like what would happen. Like it's just not, I don't think
that's smart. That.
There's a big running debate on this podcast and how Kluber would do against.
He's 125 pounds, right?
Yeah, you're smoking.
Well, he weighs in at 125 pounds. In the offseason, he'll be 150. So against somebody who's way bigger than him, he'll weigh in at 150.
I also have a question for you, Drake.
Yeah.
Do you think like if you go into the ring with Ronda Rousey, like you would you beat the hell out of her?
Now, yes. When I was playing football, no chance.
Yeah. People, because I answered that. I'm like, I don't know if I could. Honestly.
Ask your boy Ike on that one. Ask your boy Ike, Jack.
She's kind of little, though. I didn't realize how little she was. So, I feel like I could hammer fist her.
Hey, man, as someone who was an introductory candidate to jiu-jitsu last year and had a slight injury that needed surgery after it because he's not that good. The better fighter is going to win every fucking time. Okay. I don't care how big you are.
Especially when it comes to fighting, because there's so many different aspects. Yeah. So while you're trying to think about how to put together offense, you're already losing on defense. So then you're going to overextend yourself on offense, trying to make up for that. They're going to counter that. And now you're so many steps behind. And literally, if you're on the ground with somebody who knows what they're doing and you don't, it is the most drowning feeling in the world.
It is.
I got you.
Extremely humbling. Let's put it that way.
I don't know.
You've got your girlfriend now, fiance, is that correct?
Shout out to the Meyer system.
Not yet. Eventually. The dynamic there, Wieskamp and the Myers girls, and I mean that is
they somehow find their way into some pretty like Joe's in the NBA. And now I'm gonna have the opportunity in the NFL, so I'm kind of wondering.
Stock in your potential offspring.
I mean, just saying, if things work out with you and your girlfriend and they have kids and y'all have kids, that could be potentially the most athletic family to ever come out of the state of Iowa.
Do you know Joe pretty well?
Joe's a great guy.
Shout out to Joe Wieskamp.
I know
what you got to do, Jack.
He's balling.
Yeah.
You guys got to plan your family so you have kids at the same time so they can all go to Iowa at the same time and we can build a super team.
Exactly. We'll have to do that for sure.
That'd be elite.
No, they're a good family. Megan, that's her name. She's a great girl. She's been very supportive of her, of me, just like during the season. Like, I'm all about football, and she knows that. So, like, I got to give the Meyer family a shout out for sure.
Shout out to them. So now we're off to the NFL, and it's like it's all over again. You probably feel like you're stepping into Iowa for the first time again. Have you reached out? I don't want to hold you too much longer, but have you reached out to anybody? I know you're out there just in a hotel room or whatever, just chilling. But
reached out to who?
Josie or anybody recent buddies who have graduated from the last couple of years. Like, hey, what's it like? You got any advice, or are you just kind of taking this on one step at a time and just going to figure it out?
Dallas Clark's reached out to me quite a few times. So he's been kind of a good guy with that. I've texted, like, we have there's like a group chat of like Pat and Josie, and like they've kind of settled.
It's a good group chat.
It's pretty much just things like trying to shit on me.
Yeah. Yep.
But so like, just honestly, like for me, I just got to know, like, and I've talked like, again, like Luke Kuechly and like Bobby O and like Shay McClellan, they kind of gave me some idea of what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I've always heard the first year is the hardest year, though. So just getting ready for that.
Yeah. My last question, Jack, did you just play for the best Iowa defense of all time?
That's tough. I'm gonna respectfully
play the fifth.
I'll give it to some guys who've come before me. Like I would put our defense toe to toe with everyone, but like for me, like I just look up to those guys too much to say that we were better than them. So like I'm gonna put like Greenway and Hodge, that 05 defense up there. I'll put it was the 09
Anger defense. And 09-10 defense.
Was he with Claiborne?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll put that defense up there. And then I'll put the 15 defense up there because y'all guys.
Shout out to the 15 defense.
Yeah, that's. I would say that those are like the highest standard of defenses that's come through, I feel like.
Well, I'll tell you what, from three former players who can speak on it, you're either one or two. And three and four are simply too low for your guys' standard. So it's either first or second best to ever play KF era. So shout out to y'all.
I actually think 13 statistically was better for us than 15, but 15 just somehow found ways to win. I'd give you guys one or two.
Any last questions, Kevin Grant?
I got all the time in the world, so don't feel like you guys have to worry about anything.
Well, I mean,
Grant, hit us with one more.
You guys stole a bunch of my questions. So here's just kind of a broad one. Outside of the game of football, are there any athletes or people that you look up to?
I really like Giannis. I'm a huge Giannis fan.
Okay.
Like, talk about winning the right way. Like, did it with the city. He got drafted by. No super team. I mean, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, like those dudes are like really solid players, but at the same time, like didn't have to like recruit any big names. I'm a huge Bill Russell fan.
Really?
Wow.
That comes from Coach Ferentz.
Champion?
Coach Kirk Ferentz, he always talks about Bill Russell on our team meetings, and no one could win like him. And like he would – I watched a documentary on Netflix. He just dominated Wilt Chamberlain. He's like his little son.
he sunned Chamberlain.
Yeah. So I would say those two. Like thinking of basketball, I would also say in baseball, I'm a huge St. Louis Cardinal fan. So like growing up,
Pujols, Yachty,
like Mark McGwire, like Chris Carpenter, like guys like that, all guys I looked up to.
You're kind of you have a little bit of old soul to you.
I just have a respect for the old school guys. Yeah.
Do you like to read the Sunday paper and have a cup of coffee?
I don't read the paper. I don't mind a cup of coffee though.
Yeah. We'll kick a cup of coffee out of bed.
A little coffee, huh?
I got one more. So every year we would read a book about leadership or teamwork. Did you guys still do that? Did you have any favorites?
Yep. So obviously we all read Slight Edge after our freshman year.
Yep.
But then if you get like voted on the leadership council, Coach Braithwaite will give a book and like you'll just read it and report on it as like a group. We had like the program, I believe it's called.
Okay.
And I believe it was written by like two Navy SEALs. And for me, like it's very similar to the Slight Edge. It's just like little stories that give you perspective on like how to have a successful life. But like my favorite one is honestly just the story in Slight Edge about the frog and the bucket of cream.
Heck like yeah. Keep churning, like baby.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to stick with me the most, I feel like, from a book from Iowa.
We're going to add that to your t-shirt of Campbell Anger 2036. And then it's going to be a little frog underneath that says keep churning. And just like the Goat Wallace shirt, it's going to have your head on the frog. One more from me, and then we'll let you go. Favorite moment from your career in Iowa City?
That leads me in. I'm gonna have to ask you guys a question at the end of this.
Okay,
cool. Please do.
But favorite moment from Iowa, probably the last game against Kentucky, just walking off the field and like being with the guys that I've been around and fortunate enough to be around for the last 4 years.
Y'all make like, that was just pathetic.
That was something that I'll never forget. Just the feeling of like going out on top, like on a win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously it's not, we were in the best bowl game, but at the same time, like anytime you can win a bowl game at the end of the season, it's a good feeling.
Feels good.
And like, it always feels good for sure. Yep. But I would say that probably is my favorite moment. There's so many of them, man.
What about that Penn State game where it got fucking nuts?
Yeah. I that was probably one of my favorite plays is when I broke that guy's ribs.
Oh, yes. Yes. And then also, I forgot to ask you this. Absolute pick six against Minnesota this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, I don't.
You had to have still put that on your stat sheet of the touchdown, dude.
I should have. I didn't, though. Yeah.
That. Anyway.
All right. Here's my question to you guys. Because I heard this somewhere and I can't remember what it was, but if you have like three pictures from Iowa football history that you had to pick to show what the Iowa football program is like all about, or like if like no one knew like what Iowa football was, you have three pictures to choose. What three pictures are you choosing over the Coach Kirk Ferentz era and why?
You and KF is one of them for sure.
I don't know.
That's
it. Has to be.
Quite honestly, it shows
like the unadulterated love that he has for his players at a fatherly level.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you set yourself up for that one, Jack.
I wasn't trying to do that.
shit. Pictures.
I got my three. I thought about it though. I've thought about this. So I'll just give you my three quick. I'm going Pat Anger, Brett Greenwood, and Coach Doyle leading out the Swarm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
From Pittsburgh, that was a phenomenal one.
That was fucking cool.
I'm putting that on there. I'm doing I said I had these, but now I can't remember this one. I'm definitely doing Ike Butker just in a 2-point stance, just looking girthy as hell, going up against Taco Charlton from Michigan. Yes. Just dominating that first rounder.
Yeah.
I'm doing that one. And then I think I'd take a picture of like just like probably like the whole Iowa defense and like Hodge and Greenway probably just like tackling something. There's got to be a picture out there of those two just smashing something.
Yeah,
you know what? There's a picture. I think it was in the weight room at the old weight room. And it's just Bob Sanders just running down the field like freaking shot out of a cannon.
There's also a pretty iconic picture of Ike steamrolling some kid from Iowa State. I really love that picture. He's out in space in the alley.
He's literally on top of him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Josh Jackson with the one-handed pick.
Oh, iconic.
Yeah.
That's an iconic photo.
I might take the picture of Claiborne blocking the punt at Penn State.
Yep. Mm, that's
that gets shown every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Jack. It really is. I'd have to think.
I would have to go through the catalog.
Yeah.
Give you a better answer.
Yeah, it's been long since we've seen those pictures. We haven't been in the building a long time.
I might take Drake. What?
There's actually a great picture. We lost the game. Yeah, we lost the game, but it's the Outback Bowl 2014. 13. And it's just like, what's that?
Oh, I guess we did play it on January 1st. I'll shut up.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like a rugby like a scrum, and it's just like these just massive human beings like pushing each other against each other. It's an extremely physical game. We lost by a touchdown, but I like that picture.
Gotcha. I will say, Drake, didn't you break your leg? Like on a
I did. I broke my leg in a I think that'd gnarly be manner. Cool too. There's a fun picture just for me and George that we share back and forth sometimes, because as they were carting me off, they took a picture of him like with his arms behind his back. He just looked at me, he's like, "You're a psychopath." That was a fun one from my memory book.
Yeah.
Pulling up here, Clue. Yep.
That's RIP that leg.
That's a tough one for the kid right there, you know?
Yo, go scroll down to the old hitting a home run in Yankee Stadium. I love that pick out of Drake.
Yeah.
If you blow that picture up, that it says Yankee Stadium in the background somewhere. Yeah. So that's a cool one.
That is sick.
You know what? I'm gonna
Now we're just shitting on me.
I think we gotta throw an honorary shout out to Kluver falling in the 2-yard.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck me. Jack, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, man.
It's been a pleasure. Best of luck to you, dude.
When you are, when and wherever you are drafted, and after your rookie season, we'd love to have you back on and catch up.
For sure.
I think I speak for everybody here when we say we're genuinely looking forward to being your fan in the future, because you're a true hawk, man.
I want to put it out there too. Two crazy things that I'm going to relate you to Coach Ferentz a little bit. I reached out to Jack like right after the bowl game, and he's like, and everybody knows that Jack, like, he even said it, he's not about the spotlight. He doesn't want to talk. He's not going to go do 10 different podcasts. Jack is probably not going to have his own podcast like we do someday. He's just not mouthy like I am. He responds back to me, wait until, let me get prepped for the combine and everything. But I don't usually do stuff like this, but for you guys, I got you. And I was like, bro, come on now. Right. He had me fired up. Now we hadn't talked since that day. It's been like over 2 months, Jack. You get done at the combine. It's like 11 PM,
Jack,
the other night. And I get a DM that says, "Hey, I'm ready to rip it whenever." And I'm like, holy shit. This guy, like, he remembered us. Like, you, like, were you just bored, or you're like that? You're like KF. You remember everybody, every name, everything you said you were going to do. Like, that's some real shit right there, Jack.
I feel like it's just when you say you're going to do something, you just got to do it. And like, at the same time, I was kind of looking forward to it. Like, I was like, there were some times I'd just be sitting around and I'd be thinking about different things I should say, and I'd write them down on this notebook.
So, you get through them all?
Yeah.
You got anything else you'd like to say to, before you leave and right off into the NFL?
Yep.
No, I'm just excited for this next step. And I'm just super fortunate that you guys chose me to be on this podcast.
Shit, dude, come on. Christ, we're excited as hell for you.
Man. Chill out.
Yeah, man. We are excited to see you get drafted here in the next 2 months. And then obviously you have a long NFL career. And then your political career. If you want to announce it on the podcast, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If we're still doing this in 10 years, I'm actually.
Okay.
We would love to announce your candidacy on this podcast, this show. Sure. Yeah.
And maybe, seriously, man, thank you for being a Hawkeye and thank you for doing it the right way. It makes us alumni feel really good about where the program's at. And so just thank you for everything.
You want to give the pork producers a shout out?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the pork producers could fund my campaign.
Let's go.
Let's go.
They would be behind it, my man. I'm pretty sure. Shout out to them. Jack Campbell, everybody. I don't know if this is 401. It might be after spring break so that people are back in their routines and we get this thing to do some serious numbies. So it might be like 404 or something like that.
Let's have Jack Campbell on the podcast. What do you mean? These people have been waiting to hear from Jack Campbell for 4 years. This is the king of Iowa City.
I understand, but they're not Jack Campbell. They're not. There's some people out there who like will let a couple episodes build up and then they'll like just miss that Jack Campbell was on the show. So we got to make sure it comes out at a good time.
Ain't nobody missing Jack Campbell.
Yeah, you're right. Let's be honest. Thanks again, Jack. Everybody listening, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.